Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. D.C. plane crash investigation moves forward. We have the story.
Democrats pushing for an increase in the Kansas minimum wage. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Rose Hill couple charged in the death of their adopted child. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm Rodney Price. Sedgwick County leaders provided a report on the county's finances. We have a look at some of the numbers coming up.
The Pentagon is continuing its investigation on the D.C. Crash that killed all 67 aboard the plane and military helicopter. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer with the latest.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth confirming that altitude was a factor in the fatal D.C. collision. Investigators have revealed that the Black Hawk helicopter was flying at an elevation of 300 feet, 100 feet above the maximum altitude for helicopters in the area. Officials say all 67 victims in the collision have now been recovered. And tonight, government leaders and first responders gathered to hold a candlelight vigil in their honor. Two employees of the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority have been arrested, accused of leaking official airport footage of the crash. According to our affiliate, WTTG, the pair apparently leaked the footage to CNN. Those two employees are facing misdemeanor computer trespass charges.
The black boxes have been recovered, with officials noting they're in good condition.
Lawmakers in the nation's capital are expected to join the annual National Prayer Breakfast today.
The National Prayer Breakfast is held each year in Washington, D.C., usually on the first Thursday in February. It was founded in 1953 when President Dwight Eisenhower accepted an invitation to join members of Congress for the event. According to the National Prayer Breakfast Foundation's website, the event is an opportunity for members of Congress to pray collectively for the country, the president, and other national and international leaders. The foundation says every president, regardless of party or religious beliefs, has joined the event since its beginning, and all faiths are welcome. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A Rose Hill couple accused in the death of their adopted six-year-old daughter made their first appearance in court Wednesday.
The child was found buried in the family's backyard last September. Christina Schroer was charged with first-degree murder, three counts of child abuse, making false information, theft by welfare fraud, Medicaid fraud, failure to report the disappearance or death of a child, and criminal desecration. Her preliminary hearing is set for March 12th. Bond was set at $250,000. Joseph Schroer is charged with two counts of aggravated endangering a child, making false information, medical fraud, and interference with law enforcement. His preliminary hearing is set for February 18th, with bond set at $10,000. The couple was arrested Monday following a lengthy investigation that lasted nearly 5 months. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Sedgwick County's fiscal condition remains sound.
That statement was part of a fourth quarter financial report from the county. Inflation is a little lower than last year, but county leaders say more inflationary pressure may develop in 2025. The county reports a $779 million investment portfolio balance after receiving $3.8 million in investment earnings in the fourth quarter and $15.7 million for the year. Chairman Ryan Beatty said those stats jumped off the page for him.
I think it's very important that the people understand this could be, if without that, we're dependent on other sources of revenue like property taxes. That investment income is helpful for property tax relief.
Unemployment is a bit higher, up from 3.1% to 4%, but still holding below the county's average of 5%. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Kansas Democrats have proposed support for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The announcement followed plans announced Monday by Kansas Republicans to eliminate taxes on tips. A news release criticized the Republicans' proposal, saying it does nothing to make eggs more affordable for Kansans. Currently, the Kansas minimum wage for entry-level jobs is $7.25 an hour. Missouri's minimum wage is $13.75 an hour.
In Texas, a man convicted of beating and suffocating a pastor in his church during a robbery has been executed.
37-year-old Stephen LeWayne Nelson received a lethal injection Wednesday, making it the second execution in the U.S. this year and the first of four scheduled in Texas over the next 3 months. While awaiting trial in 2011, Nelson was indicted in the killing of another jail inmate. Nelson was never tried on that charge after his guilty verdict and death sentence. His appeals have been denied by state and federal courts. Nelson claimed he'd only been a lookout for the robbery and blamed two other men for the murder. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04.
We're just 3 days out from the Super Bowl. We'll hear from Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce coming up in sports.
And the job of confirming President Trump's cabinet nominees continues. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News now, 7:07. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning. The job of confirming President Trump's cabinet nominees continues.
The Senate confirming Scott Turner to be the next Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Wednesday along mostly party lines. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to vote on FBI Director nominee Kash Patel, one of President Trump's nominees most under the microscope. Patel will need to be voted out of committee in order to go before the full Senate to officially be confirmed. U.S. Trade Representative nominee Jamison Greer has his confirmation hearing scheduled for today. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Tesla sales have dropped significantly in Germany. Are Elon Musk's political views to blame?
Tesla sold almost 60% fewer cars in Germany last month than in January 2024. The electric vehicle powerhouse shifted just under 1,300 cars in Europe's largest economy. The drop far exceeds a fall in German car demand. Overall, sales of new vehicles were down just 2.8%. Tesla's also lost market share in Sweden and Norway. CEO Elon Musk has made polarizing comments on European politics. His support of far-right political parties was called disgusting by German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
New Orleans officials promised the French Quarter will be secure ahead of Super Bowl Sunday. Fox's Chris Welty is on Bourbon Street with the latest.
Potential targets in the French Quarter, downtown, and the Superdome are more secure for the Super Bowl. NOPD Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says 2,000 law enforcement are watching over the city. Security is tighter because President Trump is attending the big game.
We're glad he's coming. Yeah, welcome, Mr. President.
NOPD says it's relying on the public to report anything out of place or any concerning social media posts. Following the Bourbon Street terror attack, Governor Jeff Landry signed an emergency declaration giving the city access to steel wedges and other barriers. Locals and visitors notice the fortified feel.
I've been calling this the martial law grass.
Police are also looking for counterfeit Super Bowl merchandise and tickets.
Homeland Security says authorities confiscated five fake Lombardi trophies, along with other non-official merchandise. KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic here in Wichita, looking pretty good. Do have some heavier traffic volumes out there. Seeing a lot of traffic right now on K-96 over by Rock Road between there and Oliver. But no big slowdowns noted. Just remember, we do have some fog here in the Wichita area. In fact, things looking better than they were last hour. Some visibility at full 10 miles, but other places you can see on the traffic cameras still have a little bit of fog. Traffic update, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. Weekend almost here. How you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Good.
Haven't even slipped off a highway today.
I figured you might have had a hangover after a National Weather Person's Day yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm sure you were partying all day.
Party, yeah.
Well, maybe next Monday morning after that big game. We'll see. I'm just kidding. No, but what Jad mentioned, yeah, two things. Number one, yeah, definitely not going to be as slick as early yesterday morning. A great thing for drivers and commuters to start off the day. And number two, despite some fog being around the Wichita area, even as we speak, it's in the process of lifting. So all the way through late morning, as that fog continues to lift, we may still be dealing with a mostly cloudy sky, but those clouds eventually breaking apart, giving way to a sunny afternoon, high of 48 degrees with a northerly breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Back up to 49 tomorrow after a chilly start. Still breezy with winds up to 10 to 20 miles an hour. And it does look like we may kind of see clouds move back in, anywhere between a partly to mostly cloudy sky. Dry over the weekend, and out of our weekend, the colder day is going to be Sunday. So we'll be up to 52 Saturday, but then back down to 40 degrees on Sunday. Still anywhere between a partly to a mainly cloudy sky between both days. And then we'll need to watch out for some active weather, and temperatures only going to continue to drop from there after that big game Sunday evening. Getting into next week, going with a 20% chance of snow on Monday, cold high of 37 degrees, 30% chance of snow Tuesday, dropping even more, high of 29 degrees, staying below freezing through Wednesday, high of 27, with still around a 20% chance of snow. So once we get into next week, just a couple of quick takeaways. We'll need to make sure that we just, even now, plant the seed in the back of our minds. Plan on some slower travel due to that snow. And number two, still too early to talk amounts, but we'll get to that point here in the next few days. All right, right now we're at 34 degrees, overcast sky, north breeze, 17 miles an hour, making it feel like 23.
We don't have near the accidents this morning that we had yesterday, which had seemed like tons of them, people sliding off and spinning out. And I'm glad to see you made it to work okay and went home okay last night.
Yeah, smoother commute for a lot of us.
And I know you celebrated National Weather Person's Day yesterday, right?
Yeah, I did. Where's my gift?
Hmm.
It all comes down to that.
Well, let us offer you our finest admiration for the job you do.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you.
No money is coming, so. Thank you, Ronnell. Ronnell Williams with the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast here on the day after National Weather Person Day. We had a cloudy, as you know, a cloudy, drizzly day yesterday in Wichita with a high of 38 degrees, normal high 46. Not
helping
just mind,
one of those dreary days.
Yeah. This is the sixth day of February, and on this date in 2021, Old Man Winter went on a rampage and delivered the first of 12 consecutive days below freezing for most of the state of Kansas. A nice, what would you call it, a freeze wave?
Well, we pretty much had that this January. This was one of our 10 coldest Januaries we've ever had this year.
A lot of snow, too. All right, well, has been warmer, and it's going to be warmer again here in a few hours. On this date in 1998, Washington National Airport was renamed Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, honoring the former president on his 87th birthday. Don't you know he had a good time with that?
Yeah, and there's, of course, half the people in Washington were grumbling about that.
Should have been named after a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, they got her done. Former NBC anchorman Tom Brokaw is 85 years old today. Anchor and managing editor of NBC's Nightly News for 22 years.
Tom Brokaw.
22 years he was in that seat.
Yeah.
Up till 2004. And he's been doing some other little things since then. Very active in, of course, honoring World War II veterans.
Yes, he's been part of that.
He's written a book about them, The Greatest Generation. And every now and then I'll get something in the mail where Tom is asking me to contribute to the World War II Museum in New Orleans.
Okay.
So he's got his name. He's putting his name up there to help out.
He didn't send those to me. You must have gotten on the list.
I got on the list. I don't know how, but I did. And I'm going to go. I'd love to go there sometime, New Orleans, see that. But I'm not going this weekend because they're having a Super Bowl, and it's going to be nuts.
We should go to New Orleans just for the weather. It's highs in the 70s, lows in the 60s. I was like, I could deal with
that.
You
can tolerate that?
That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. 7:15, Stephen Ted of the Morning here on KNSS. Justice Department says it will not fire FBI agents who simply followed orders in investigating President Trump or the J6 rioters. That's according to a memo from Acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove, who said agents who carried out their duties in an ethical manner will be safe. Bove says the investigation targets only those who acted with corrupt or partisan intent or were involved in weaponizing the FBI. Intent. One of the hardest things to prove there is in a legal system. 7:16, Stephen's Head of the Morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward, sir.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Super Bowl. It's 3 days away. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in the Superdome in New Orleans. Of course, you'll hear that game live Sunday right here on KNSS, your home of the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce with his thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up.
I used to really, really care about that, man. Like, I used to want to be known as the greatest tight end ever, but I think it's just more so enjoying these moments that I have with my teammates and trying to get these wins and create these memories. This entire year has been such a, you know, it's been such a battle for every single person that comes into that building every week, putting their body on the line, putting their lives aside outside of football just for one common goal. And I've gotten away from, you know, wanting to be, you know, known as that. I think I want to be known as just one of the best teammates these guys have ever had.
Now that Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, of course. Like we said, the Super Bowl Sunday here on KNSS, Chiefs and the Eagles. 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon with the Chiefs pregame show on the Chiefs Radio Network and the national coverage of the game. And then rejoining the Chiefs Network for the postgame after that. So that's all Sunday right here on your home of the Chiefs, KNSS. Coming up 1 hour from right now, we'll have our Minute with Mitch. 60 seconds with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs. We'll preview. And then, of course, the big tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour, live, our Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtis. He'll be live in New Orleans talking to us about the Super Bowl tomorrow morning at about 8:15. So make sure you're here for that tomorrow morning.
Always something to look forward to all week long.
Yep. Yeah. And Mitch will somehow relate the game to Shocker football.
He always does.
Our Eddie Plapa update.
So a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun tomorrow morning to see what he comes up with. All right, let's go to the NBA last night. The Utah Jazz win at home. They beat the Golden State Warriors 131-128. In the starting lineup for the Jazz, former Kansas Jayhawks, V. Mikhailuk, with 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Jazz have won 2 of their last 3 games. The Denver Nuggets win on home court last night, beat the New Orleans Pelicans 144-119. In the starting lineup for the Nuggets, former Kansas Jayhawk, Christian Brown, with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists. The Nuggets have won 4 in a row. They're in the number 4 spot in the Western Conference. College women's basketball last night at Koch Arena. Wichita State ladies win at home. Beat Florida Atlantic 54-44. Shocker women snap a 7-game losing streak. I got to be the guest public address announcer at the game last night. Shocker ladies get the win. Their first home win since December 8th.
Ooh,
junior
really?
Jayla Murray with 18 points, and Breon White added 12 points and 8 rebounds as the Shocker ladies are in the win column. 10-point win last night over the Owls of Florida Atlantic. Big women's matchup in Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan last night. 10th-ranked Kansas State hosting 9th-ranked TCU. Woo! Big crowd and a big effort by the K-State ladies. Here's the action on the Kansas State Basketball Network.
The ball sticks for a moment. Sanchez backs Dan Lithdown. Nice backdoor cut. Poindexter gets it! The baseline drive! The finish! The hoop and harm! And one.
Yeah, citing the K-State women beat 9th-ranked TCU 59-50. It's now 15 straight home wins for the Kansas State women on home court at Bramlage Coliseum. Here's Kansas State head coach Jeff Mitty.
Gritty performance.
Yep.
Felt like we missed a lot of opportunities in the first half, but I think, really extremely hard. I can't thank the fans enough.
7,500, by the way, the attendance.
Once again, awesome crowd, awesome crowd. They really showed out tonight, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
Yeah, the K-State women are now 22-2 on the season, 10-1 now, atop the conference. And in the starting lineup for the women, for K-State, Wichita's Zai Walker had 4 rebounds and a couple of steals in that win for the Lady Wildcats. We'll be talking about the K-State men tonight on the weekly edition with the head coach, the Jerome Tang Show, 7 o'clock tonight over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Wildcats right now are on a four-game winning streak. Their next game is Saturday afternoon in Manhattan, hosting 16th-ranked Kansas. A lot to talk about tonight on the Jerome Tang Show with the K-State men's basketball coach. College women's tennis, Wichita State beat Oral Roberts 7-0 yesterday afternoon in the home opener at Wichita Country Club. Back-to-back wins for the Wichita State women's tennis team. And if you want to go see some high-class wrestling tonight, you've got some elite wrestlers here in town. Newman University hosting the fourth-ranked team in the nation, Nebraska Kearney. At wrestling, I'll be on the west side at 7 o'clock tonight at Newman in college wrestling action. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
7:21 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. New York's governor takes steps to protect a certain group of medical professionals from prosecution. That's coming up. House call for health. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 here on this Thursday morning, and 33 degrees. The Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board has voted to deny clemency for a death row inmate.
Wendell Grissom admitted to killing Amber Dawn Matthews in 2005 in Blaine County. Records show Grissom had broken into a home and Matthews was defending a baby in the child's room when Grissom shot her in the back of the head, then again in the forehead. He claimed he was drunk during the crime, but the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Grissom's conviction. Supporters also said he suffered from brain damage. Grissom's execution's been on hold several times as the state had a moratorium on the death penalty for years. But after the Pardon and Parole Board's decision, Grissom is set to be put to death March 20th. Jill Nato, Fox News.
More money earmarked for the 29th and Grove water contamination in North Wichita. Sedgwick County commissioners have added $125,000 to go toward testing. That money will help unlock a match of $1 million from the state of Kansas. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty says this funding is an important step toward getting testing for people impacted by the water contamination that went unnoticed for decades.
There's a lot of conversations now. What we've learned in this process is that people in this community really care. They care about issues of water. They care about issues of contamination. They care deeply about what's taken place at 29th and Grove in 40 years of a community not being aware of what has taken place.
And the city of Wichita has already set aside $125,000 for the testing. And another $500,000 is expected to come from the Kansas Health Foundation.
The Kansas Attorney General is looking to throw out a lawsuit filed by Ford County. Lawsuit is against multiple oil and chemical companies, including ExxonMobil and Chevron. The lawsuit claims that the companies pushed the idea that plastics were recyclable when only a fraction of plastics are actually reused. Chris Kobach says, a lawsuit that seeks relief on behalf of all citizens, the state, or other cities or counties can only be brought through his office, the AG's office.
A progressive Democrat is mounting a primary challenge against longtime California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi.
On Wednesday, the former chief of staff to New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez announced his intention to run against Nancy Pelosi, saying the Democratic Party is paralyzed and unprepared for President Donald Trump's second term in office. Psychot Chakrabarty says he was motivated to run against Pelosi, who's seeking a 21st term of office, after watching Trump and Elon Musk, quote, freely unleash chaos and the illegal seizure of government. While Chakrabarty says he respects the Democratic leader, says the country has changed dramatically since Pelosi's early days in Washington. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
President Trump met with Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Governor Abbott has been among the staunchest backers of President Trump, even when he wasn't in office, on stopping illegal immigration. The state's Operation Lone Star was a big part of moving manpower and resources to stop migrant crossings. Part of Abbott's discussion with the president was seeing what Texas spent come back.
About $11 billion of costs incurred over the past 4 years because of the unprecedented illegal crossings that took place.
Governor Abbott, in the private meeting, offered Texas locations as operations bases and even for migrant detention if the nation needed it. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
All right, let's take a look at the forecast now with KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with the, well, let's run out Williams.
Not as slick this morning, but it is going to be foggy, which is still going to slow down that early morning commute. So just give yourselves a little bit of extra time during your morning drive. As we go from a mainly cloudy sky to a mostly sunny one, sunshine returns by the afternoon with a high of 48. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rana Williams.
And now we have fog and mist and 33 degrees, north wind at 12 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. On this sixth day of February, 2024, seems like the year is rolling past in a hurry. We've already got January in the books. Now we're on February. Okay. On this date in 1952, Britain's King George VI, 56 years of age, died at Sandringham House in Norfolk, England. He was succeeded as monarch by his 25-year-old eldest daughter, who became Queen Elizabeth II. And she's the longest reigning monarch, right, Ted? Was it Victoria that was almost as long, or was it the previous record holder?
Yes.
I confess I didn't do the next line, get the research on, because this is also a day. Oh, I know what today is. This is the day that they celebrated the 50th anniversary. Queen Elizabeth did. So that would have been, what year was that? A couple of years ago? So, yeah, she was queen for more than 50 years. And,
She took over in the. When did he pass?
52.
Yeah, so she was 50 years ago. It was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And now she's passed away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading a. I just picked up
now
a book.
Now we have King Charles.
Yes. I just picked up a book by Peggy Noonan, who was a speechwriter for the Bushes or something, was it? I think, or Reagan, maybe. Conservative writer. And I've always felt just a terrific writer, a woman with great common sense. And she has written, she writes a column in the, I think, the Washington Post, one of the papers. And they've collected some of these essays in a book. And I'm chewing through that thing in a hurry. And she had a chapter, actually it's just about three little pages, on Queen Elizabeth II. And basically just, she noted just what a great person she was. Taking over that life and without a whimper, taking over and doing the duties she did all those years. And she was just glowing in her appreciation of somebody who, you know, didn't whine, didn't say anything, just did, okay, I'll do this, and did a fine job and represented her people. And she was the queen. She represented her country well. All right.
Yeah, once you're forced into that role at a young age, that's your life.
That's right.
There it is. You're that for the rest of your existence.
Let's talk about dinner for a little bit. Great time to connect with your kids and have actual conversations, right? Apparently there's too much good stuff to watch on TV. Around two-thirds of Americans say they usually watch TV while eating dinner now. 63% compared to 41% who talk to the people they're eating with.
That's sad to hear.
Watching TV isn't the only thing we're up to at dinner. 28% often use their phone. 16% listen to music, 8% read, 6% make phone calls, another 6% play video games while they're eating, and 3% do chores. Apparently, we're having somebody over there dusting the furniture as well.
Who are those 3%?
All right, so what was it like at your house?
You go to a restaurant now, and you look at a table, and all the kids are on their phones.
Yeah, they're all.
They're not talking to each other at dinner.
That's right, hand dipped. You know, the old thing growing up when we were kids, most nights it was we had the family there around the table.
Exactly the same for me.
And
Mom made dinner and we all sat down at the table and had our time together.
It was a great place to talk about what we're doing that day.
I feel like that was pretty invaluable.
I do too. And
keeping everybody together.
I know that some folks' lifestyles anymore, I'm not going to mention any names, but some of my relatives, they're just going everywhere, and they're all going in different directions all the time. And they don't, and you know how it is. People don't do home-cooked meals like they used to, but, yeah. Watching TV, that'll distract you.
Of course, on the TV show Dallas, Miss Ellie always made sure that everybody sat at the dinner table and had dinner together. That was the big centerpiece of the Ewing family.
Yeah.
Because that was often a plot device. I have to go home and get to dinner. They all had dinner together at South Fork every night.
That helped JR be such a fine person.
Yeah, and it's a great plot device because, you always had this dinner table scene where everybody would jabber at each other. I think that's a great message. Have your family. Your family, you're under one roof. You have dinner together.
If you can do it, do it. So we've got a conversation going at least now of possibly raising the minimum wage in Kansas to $15.
More than doubling it.
Yeah, $7.25 now. And it hasn't been raised since 2009.
Been a while.
So, I don't know. The surrounding states, Missouri's is higher. I think Missouri and Colorado is both higher than Kansas. I think Oklahoma's the same, $7.25. But, yeah. Do you think anybody can that's a wage that anybody can live on anymore?
Nope.
This is something that minimum wage has usually been in my lifetime for kids who are going to school and working after school or in part-time. What did you start out at? Do you remember? Your first wage?
I don't remember. Whatever they were paying me at Flaky Jake's to be a line cook.
Yeah. I think mine was probably 90 cents. 90 cents an hour. And they didn't enforce it too strictly in those days, so. 90 cents an hour.
I remember mine.
What's yours?
$4.25.
See? He was in the money. He was making big dough in those days.
Where was that at? KNSS?
It was the minimum wage back then.
KNSS.
A little joke. Sorry.
A little joke for you. All right. But I started out, I remember the first job I had. It was kind of a summertime job at the service station just down at the end of the block almost from my house. And they gave me a first paycheck, and I said, wait a minute, I thought I got this much. I says, the government takes money out.
Oh, yeah. You don't get that whole amount.
I didn't know that because I was like 16 years old.
Like, oh.
Okay, fine. That's the way it works.
It's good to get that first fiscal disappointment in your life to find out, I'm not making as much as I thought I was going to.
But some money from that paycheck went into Social Security, which I've collected now.
Well, there you go. So it's all coming back.
I'm going to be a rich person one of these days.
There you go.
Know it. 7:40 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Minimum wage. What else is going on? Of course, you got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big deal. And we're going to have it right here on the radio on KNSS. Mm-hmm. Oh, pretty exciting.
Third year in a row, the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl.
Will they do the, what do they call it? Trifecta? No.
Three-peat.
And nobody's ever done it before.
Not for Super Bowls.
So I saw Mitch on Channel 3 last night, Mitch Holtis.
Yeah.
They interviewed him about the three-peat or whatever. And it was one of those things where he had the computer image there. He was doing it at home on his computer, but he didn't say much.
He's saving it for his interview with us tomorrow.
It wasn't exactly one of those outlandish conversations that we usually have, but he was behaving himself.
Oh, well.
Trying to be, what he is.
You know, that's why you need to be here at 8:15 tomorrow morning.
Oh,
get the real Mitch Holtis.
The real Mitch Holtis comes out. Guy is encyclopedic about small town sports.
He sure is.
Across Kansas.
You can name any small town in Kansas, and he's got some kind of anecdote coming right your way.
He knows the mascot. He knows something about the player or somebody who's been there. Yeah. It's fun. He's a great guy. He's a great treasure for the state of Kansas. 7:42 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And coming up, we got the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. A longtime credit union leader, Bob Thurman, has died. We'll tell you about that coming up with Stephen 10 in the morning on KNSS. Stephen 10 in the morning, KNSS, 7:46 here on this Thursday morning. Three big things. Rose Hill couple charged with multiple crimes in the death of their 6-year-old adopted daughter.
2.
Democrats want to raise the Kansas minimum wage to $15 an hour from the current $7.25. Last raise was in 2009. D.C. plane crash investigation continues. All 67 bodies have been recovered from the Potomac. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
We have a traffic accident now. This is basically just east of Mays. So it's a 53rd Street North, 9300 block of 53rd Street North, just east of the city of Mays. Traffic accident there on 53rd. We also have some really heavy traffic right now in the area near Harry and Edgemore, north and south on Edgemore, and especially eastbound on Harry there. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Mostly sunny today and warmer. Our high today will be around 49 degrees, getting up close to 50. Yesterday's high only 38. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 31. Then on Friday, mostly sunny. And tomorrow's high, 50 degrees. Now fog and mist, a north wind at 12 miles per hour. 33 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wall Street ended in the green Wednesday.
Stocks finishing higher despite big tech stocks under pressure today as shares of Google parent Alphabet struggled in the wake of their recently reported earnings results. Its stock falling 8%. The search engine giant delivered fourth quarter earnings that beat expectations, but its cloud revenue missed estimates. Disney reported upbeat earnings, posting a beat on streaming strength, but the entertainment giant took a hit in its theme park business from hurricanes, and its stock fell 2%. The Dow winners, Amgen, Goldman Sachs, and NVIDIA. The Dow decliners, Amazon, Caterpillar, and United Health Group. The Dow rising 317 points. The Nasdaq higher by 38. S&P 500 up 24. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And now look at local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Bob Thurman, who spent 37 years as president and oversaw Credit Union of America's growth as the area's second largest credit union, died Tuesday from complications due to pancreatitis. He was 72 years old. With about $14 million in assets in the mid-1970s, Credit Union of America evolved from its roots as a teacher's credit union located inside East High School to total assets of $1.61 billion in 2024. And that's according to the Business Journal's most recent list. Thurman's conservative leadership style came from remembering CUA was always operating with the members' money. Quote,
a fast-growing Wichita church is moving to an east side shopping center in the midst of its own new chapter. 5 years after husband and wife, John and Stephanie Morris, launched Vima Church, they have signed a lease at Huntley Yards, formerly known as Brittany Center, located up the southeast corner of 21st and Woodlawn. The church is moving into 29,000 square feet of the former Vasa Fitness space, which became a Genesis Health Club's location before closing in 2023. John Morris, lead pastor, said after a challenging start for Vima at the beginning of the pandemic, says things have really taken off for our church. The congregation has grown from 450 now up to 600 people within the last year. It's local business news from the Wichita Business Journal.
There's more and more of those, it seems to me, kind of a small shopping centers and places like that. Now, this place that they're talking about, that would be pretty close to where we used to have our studios, right? Southeast corner, 21st and Woodlawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be right
Brittany
there.
Center complex. Yep.
It's one of the places where we had a radio station where we operated for, how many years were we there? Do you remember?
15-ish?
Yeah.
That sound right?
Started out, you started out at 27th and what?
37th and
Woodlawn. 37th and Woodlawn.
And, I'm sorry, 37th and Hillside.
Right. And
up by Channel 12.
That's where I first went to work at KNSS, and you as well. And then after a few years there, we went over to 21st and Woodlawn. I don't remember all. We were shuffling radio stations at the time. And there was a sale, and two stations went here, and the other one went there. So we came there, and it was right in front of the building was our studio. They put us right up front. So that the first thing you saw when you were coming up to the door was you saw us on the air, if you were at that time of day. Remember that?
Yes.
Of course, when we first got there, they put us in a studio in the back.
We couldn't be further away from the front door when they first put us there.
Our console was on a door on a couple of sawhorses. And
yeah, they really made us feel welcome.
Yeah, and our show at that time, we did a lot of phone work, right? We had no phone.
They didn't give us a phone.
No. That was some crummy times.
Yeah, it was.
Not
going to
mention the name of the manager who was just a kind of a jerk.
Really?
And there were people there who said,
they didn't want us there. They made that perfectly clear.
There were people there who just treated us like, I've never been treated like that in radio. Because most of the time in radio, we're all radio people and we all pretty much get along. But there was a couple of people there didn't want us there at all.
Nope.
And made it obvious. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're still on the radio and they're gone. Right.
And then we came over here a few years ago, and we've been doing this well, right?
I tell you, there's a lot of empty buildings at the Brittany Center these days.
Yeah. Oh,
a lot of people have moved out.
But you know, I've been kind of dragging this morning. I didn't drink any coffee, and all of a sudden, a while ago, I said, I got to get some prairie fire going here.
Oh, I see you're loaded up now.
And now I'm starting to get a little energy back.
Well, there you go.
You know how it is with me. I got to have several cups of coffee every morning.
Well.
So the prairie fire coffee is what we do, and there it is.
There it is.
I confess.
You're all stimulated now.
All stimulated. Won't be able to sleep for a couple of days.
Oh, no, we want you to make it through the 8 o'clock hour.
We got to get through the 8 o'clock hour.
Exactly. And Prairie Fire Coffee will do the job.
Got a big weekend coming up. We got a lot of excitement. When's the last time you were invited to a Super Bowl watch party, or have you ever been?
Can't remember. It's been 20 years, maybe, or longer.
Yeah. I'd say at least for me. I mean, the doggone thing, the Super Bowl usually lasts till the evening, and I'm going to stay at somebody's house. Carousing, eating things, and getting sick, and just stay home. Too much excitement for me. All right. Haven't been invited this year, that's for sure. But anyway, a lot of people are going to have a party, I'm sure. We used to have a receptionist here. Bless her heart. She took off every Super Bowl Monday. She knew she was going to party.
She knew her gas tank would be empty come Monday morning, so she planned ahead.
Hey, yeah. And we knew it was going to happen. So, okay, we'll get along without you. People plan ahead for that sort of stuff. All right, let's see. Today
she was apparently going to parties that I did not get invited to.
Oh, yeah. She always went, we weren't in her circle. Today is National Frozen Yogurt Day.
Okay.
Recognizes a sweet frozen dessert that has gone from fad status to staple freezer item in a few decades. Frozen yogurt. What is that? What's the difference between that and frozen custard? I thought that reminds me of our good friend Freddie. Freddie Simon, who, of course, founded Freddie's. Custard and Steak Burger.
He came up with the recipe for the frozen custard.
Yeah. And he was a huge Stephen Ted listener.
Yes.
Every time he had a birthday, he'd bring us a treat.
I know. He would show up on his birthday and bring us some frozen custard.
Great guy. And his sons are too terrific, too. And Freddie's is doing well, so there you go.
I believe the anniversary of his 100th birthday is coming up.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, this year.
I'd have some frozen custard. Stephen 10 in the morning, 7:55. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we have a lot of interesting stuff planned for you. We'll have the news here at the top of the hour. The investigation into the D.C. plane crash continues. Ted will have sports, as always. Right, Ted?
Yes, our Thursday morning feature, The Minute with Mitch. We'll preview the Super Bowl, as we do every Thursday, and that'll be coming up in about 25 minutes.
Plus entertainment news. How about that blur?
Yeah, we'll get you all your entertainment news. Some Super Bowl items will creep into that as well. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.